Amen. Do it this way.
Well, praise God. You know, there was a day when you hear that more frequently. Amen. It wasn't just old white-haired men that did it either. Amen.
Amen.
There was a day when that preaching was like what we heard this morning. You heard it in a lot of pulpits.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that that kind of preaching, young people, will establish your family. You don't need a wimp behind the pulpit. You don't need some guy with lace on his drawers behind the pulpit.
That's right, yes, sir.
You need a man. That's manly preaching. You know what the greatest release for some of us was? When we found out Christianity was for men.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord. Yes.
Amen. Too many people made Christianity out to be a wimp religion. And some of us wouldn't get saved or get near it because of that. But praise God, man, when we finally figured out there were men in Christianity. Amen.
Amen.
You look through the Bible, you look through the New Testament, I challenge you to do it every time the Bible says there was a man. Or God called a man. And you look how many times the word man shows up. Amen. When God calls a man, he's a man. Amen. He's not a wimp. Amen. He's all man. John the Baptist was a man. There was a man sent from God. I didn't see any lady sent from God, but I did see one man, John the Baptist. Amen. Kind of quiet. Say, why? You're just preaching to men? No, ladies, you ought to want a man.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to want a man that'll lead. Amen. If a man will lead, he'll love. Amen. He'll love you. Amen. Like he ought to love you. Amen. Because why? If he'll lead, he can follow. And that follow don't mean you. That follow means Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you.
And if you get a man that'll follow Jesus Christ, he'll lead you and love you the way you ought to be led and loved. Amen. But you get a man that's stuck on himself, or you get a man, we've already heard it today, you get a man who puts you ahead of Jesus Christ, forget it. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Forget it. Why? It's upside down. You're not supposed to be first, ladies.
Right.
Oh, but I want to be the love of his life. Well, you could be. But let Jesus be the first love.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
A man that'll love Jesus Christ first will love you like he ought to. Why? Because he'll love you like Jesus Christ loved the church. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll take care of you like Jesus Christ takes care of the church. And you may never have a lot, but I'll tell you what, he'll take care of you. Amen. He'll take care of you, meet your needs like it ought to be. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, we got some guys that need some help here too. I mean, somebody help me out. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise God, man. I mean, if you'll love God like you ought to love God, man, you'll be able to love that woman like he commanded you to love that woman.
Amen.
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 And it'll be something besides lust. Amen.
Amen.
My wife's sitting here, and I don't mean to embarrass her, but I'm going to tell you something. After 42 years, the room still lights up when she walks in.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Yes, sir.
And you can ask her who's first in my life. Go ahead, anybody. I dare you. Go ahead. I'm not ashamed of it. She knows, and I know. And I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to tell you, amen. And listen, the preacher got you sound like you got your ducks all in a row. I did, but most of them are wild and crooked, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It's known, amen, in our house who loves who. And who's first? Jesus Christ comes first. Jesus Christ comes first in that woman's life. Amen.
That's true. Man.
We love Jesus like we're supposed to. She'll love Jesus like she's supposed to. Amen. You know, when I first got saved, my pastor had this little thing that he drew, this little triangle. And a man's over here and a woman's over here and his God's up here. And he said, here's what happened. Because my family was a wreck, man, when I got saved. Some of y'all can identify with that?
Yes, sir.
It was a wreck. In fact, I didn't have a family. My wife was in Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. I was in Goldsboro, North Carolina, 12 hours away. Amen. She left me. I don't blame her. I tried to leave me, but I couldn't figure out how. Amen. I was miserable. But I got saved, and God got a hold of my heart. Amen. And my pastor took me aside and started giving me some good sound doctrine out of the Bible on how to love your wife.
Amen.
And he said, the first thing you need to do is love Jesus. I got an evangelist friend. He said, your nose is too big. Amen. Your feet stink and you don't love Jesus. That's the problem. That's what he says to teenagers. Amen.
Yeah,
listen, you love Jesus like you ought to, he'll bring you the right wife. You love Jesus like you ought to, you'll be able to love her. Amen. The way you should love her.
Right.
Amen. You put him first. So he puts this thing up and he says, here's God at the top. Here's the Lord right here. Here you are, here she is. Now, which way are you going on that triangle? I said, I don't know. He said, let me tell you where you were going. You were going this way, and she was going this way. And you know what happens when you do that? There's a train wreck coming. And you've had the train wreck. Amen. And now there's a bunch of pieces. You want to get it straightened out? Go this way. And then show her by going this way, she can go that way. And guess where the two of you are going to meet? At Jesus. You're going to meet at the Lord. Amen. And that thing called marriage will work. And your house will be a home. Amen.
Amen.
But I had to do some things first. I had to get me right. That was the job. Man, I'm telling you, you messed up as much as I did. Amen, Brother Dave, it takes a while to get straight.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what happened. She came back. First off, my pastor took a Bible and he said, look, he said, son, if you'll get in this book and read this book every day, and amen, pray, get on your face and pray every day before God, and then be in church every time the doors are open. He said, God will speak to you off the pages of this book. So I did just what he said, man. I said, where did I start? I didn't know where to start. He said, well, don't start in Genesis, man. You get to them begats in there somewhere. And he said, man, it'll slow you way down. He said, start over here. And he gave me John. So I read the book of John that night. He didn't tell me where to stop. I read the whole book. So what are you doing? You got through it. I started over again. He said, read John. That's what I was reading. I went from there. I said, now where do I go next night? I said, preacher, where do I go? I've read John about four times. I said, now what's next? He said, read Matthew. Okay. I did the same thing with Matthew. He didn't tell me, stop. I just kept reading Matthew. And he said, no, son, go ahead and read the New Testament. So I began to read the New Testament. But I was reading through Matthew. And I came to Matthew 21:22, and it says, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, that shall you receive. And I've just been praying to God. You saved me. Thank you for saving me. But my family's a wreck. I need my family back. God, I don't want to serve you. I can't serve you. Just me, God. I need my family. That's what I was living for, but I didn't know how to take care of my family. Why? Because he wasn't first. I was first. I said, God, I need my family. Would you please bring my wife and my children back home? And man, I went across Matthew 21:22, and it's like God himself took the highlighter and went, that's for you right there. She's coming home. I called my preacher. I said, preacher, my wife's coming home. He said, great, when? I said, I don't know. He said, how do you know? I said, preacher, you told me if I got in this book and read, got on my face and prayed and got in church, God would speak to me off the page of this book. God done spoke to me. Well, how'd he do that? Matthew 21:22, and I quoted it to him. He said, now, brother, you got to understand. Now, you see, doctrine, Jesus was talking to some Jews. I said, preacher, you didn't tell me nothing about no Jews. You told me to get in that book. I got in that book, and God was focused. I'm just checking you out, son. Amen. And I tell you what, there's the proof of it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. She came back. Brother Bob, I picked her up at the airport with two little girls in tow. You met the oldest one this morning. And the redhead's the one who had all the trouble this week. And he met there, and then two little girls in tow. And I hugged them little boy, them girls, they was glad to see daddy. I hugged them up, took them up, scooped them up, and loved on them a little bit. I got to her, I put my arms around her. She whispers in my ear so the girls couldn't hear. She said, well, I'm back, but I don't know for how long. Man, my heart went. And God said, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, that shall you receive. She's here to stay, son. You just keep doing what I tell you to do.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Haynes, I got diarrhea.
for 6 weeks, every time it was time to go to church.
Preacher,
ask her.
It come time to go to church. Brother Dale and I'm in the bathroom. God, I gotta go. It's church time. I got to go to church, man. I miss church if I'm not there. And I know something's gonna happen if I'm not there, and I'm gonna miss God. You gotta help me, Lord. And I get up and grab my Bible, out the door I go. And she watched that for about 6 weeks. Brother Bob, she came to me one day and she said, "What in the world is going on out there at that church?" I said, "You wouldn't believe it." Man, the preacher gets all red in the face. I said, "Man, he spits over about four rows, cries over about six more." I said, "Man, the folks start singing like it was here tonight, man. The rafters are rattling. The shingles are flapping."
Yes, sir.
I said, "Man, you wouldn't believe what goes on out there at that church." I said, "People get up and they testify. I mean, it just gets good. I mean, it ain't nothing like you ever saw at that Methodist church growing up. I guarantee you that." She says, "You reckon it'd be okay if I went out to that church with you?"
Yes, sir.
I said, "Come on, honey. Come on." You know what she found? Folks at that church that just loved her like she was.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Yes.
Wasn't long there, so you know she's teaching Sunday school, lost as a goose in a blizzard, upside down, flying back into a snowstorm. But she's teaching Sunday school. You know how Baptists are, man. Get them, you know, dip them, dunk them, and put them in the ministry, right? Well, man, she got busy. But all the while, she kept seeing something, Brother Chris. And the Holy Ghost, I didn't know this. She made a profession to shut my preacher up. The Holy Ghost said, "You ain't got what he got. 4 years. So, you ain't got what he got. It ain't the same." And man, she struggled with that thing this time. I got transferred to Las Vegas, Nevada. Anything good come out of Las Vegas, I used to say I-15 headed north, amen, away from California. My wife got saved in Las Vegas, Nevada, while I was stationed there. And brother, she got saved. You know who's first in her life now? Not me.
Yes.
I don't want to be. Why? God is. Her Lord is. And man, I'm telling you, today, we, you know, busy, heck, you know how it's been around here. You know how this week always is, right? Well, I got trouble with my motorhome, and today is the one day it ain't going to rain. It's supposed to rain all the rest of the week. So I got to work on the motorhome while it's dry, so I got to run and get parts. She takes a nap. She cheated. I didn't get mine. Amen. When I come back, you know what I found her doing? Sitting up in bed reading her Bible. Nap's over. Time to get serious here. Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, young people, listen, if you'll just put Jesus Christ first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what the problem is? Here's the problem, Brother Dale. We Americans, we don't like addition.
Yes, sir.
We prefer multiplication, and we like the free multiplication. Adding takes longer. That means you gotta wait because it don't come quite as fast. Amen. And people, we get in trouble, amen, because we try to do it too fast. Amen. What's wrong with letting God do it? Why can't we let God be God? Listen, he's the same God that spoke, amen, and there was man. He spoke, amen, and there was water. Amen, he spoke, and there was land. He spoke. He's the same God. Listen, he is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My wife and I are asking and thinking and looking for something and asking and trusting the Lord for something right now. The biggest thing we've ever done. You know what encourages me? When I run into men like Bob DeWitt, who stands up and tells me he's got 600 orphans he's taking care of. You know what that takes? Money. A lot of money. First thing that went through my mind was George Mueller. I don't think he had 600, did he? I don't remember. Huh? Over years.
not all at once. I'm telling you what, man. Listen, you know what that does? That encourages me. Why? You know what? Hey, you know what he's doing? He's just being faithful to God, serving God. And what's God doing? God's taking care of him, and God's taking care of his orphans. You know what? If I just do what I'm supposed to do to keep God first in my life, you know what God's going to do with him? He's going to take care of me too, and the need I've got, and the question I've got, and all the things I'm asking for, and all the things I'm looking for. Why? Because you said it, man. I am not looking for it for my glory. Man, I've lived in a grass hut with a leaky roof, amen, and with a fire coming in the backyard. Hey, listen, that don't bother me. It does. I don't need a palace. Amen. I just need a place to lay my head and keep my wife dry. And amen, and keep food on the table so she can cook it. Why? Because I like to eat. You can tell that. Amen. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, man, God is still able, Brother David, to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. He still can supply your need. He'll do it by addition. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, you know, don't need things. Try doing the ministry without things.
That's right.
Y'all like the car you rode up in, didn't you? That's a thing. Amen. Nice to have a nice one, ain't it?
It gets a bit tedious when you have to work on it all the time. About every 50 miles, you got to stop and add a quart of oil. It's been here sometimes. Amen.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just trying to tell you, everything you're hearing here this week, amen, it's been right down the pipe. It puts him in the driver's seat and us in the trunk.
I like what Brother Earl said. He said, folks use God like they use a spare tire. They keep him in the trunk. Yeah. They go back there and get him out when they need him.
Yeah.
He said, no, he said, let me tell you what to do. He said, you put Jesus in the driver's seat. You give him the keys, and you crawl in the trunk. Amen. Oh, but it'd be a scary ride. No, man, it's a great ride. How many of y'all really like, now come on, be honest with me, you young people especially, how many of y'all like the extreme things? See, I knew it, man. I knew, here's some boys, I knew they would. Hey, listen, what do they call it today? Extreme sports. Extreme paintball. Extreme parasailing. Extreme skiing. Everything's extreme. Listen, life on the edge, right? You want life on the edge? Get in the will of God and do it with all your might. And you'll find life on the edge.
Yes, sir.
You'll find the greatest life that anybody could ever live. The most exciting life that anybody could ever live is in flat dad smack in the middle of the will of God. Doing exactly what he says do. Amen. And then let him, amen, call the shots. I don't like that. Too bad. You gave him the choice, remember? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Make that your life's verse if you have to.
Amen.
It's mine. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice does?
Itself up.
It dies.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they give that thing a new smile, man, from ear to ear. Amen. It's dead. Say, preacher, you tell me I gotta die, you sure do. To you. Die to self. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, is what Paul said. Amen. Another place it said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. What's that mean? Your desires now become his. His desires now become yours. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm here to tell you, he never misses. He always does what he said he'd do. He is faithful and true. And if he said it, it's so. And if he said it's going to come to pass, you can take it to the bank, it's coming to pass.
Amen.
Put him first. Put that idea you got in some heart. You know what the problem, young lady, with a hunk is? I show you. Look, they become a chunk. See? I'm losing some of the chunk, though. Praise God. Huh?
And you know what the thing about that little boy, look at the preacher, she just dropped dead, man. Gorgeous. You know what happens? She gets a little older.
Uh-oh.
Age has a way of doing it, man. Amen. That's as far as I'm going to go. Say why? Because my wife's over there.
You better look for that inward beauty.
Yes, that Brother Tim was just talking about. You know what you'll find if you find that inward beauty? It's there even when a breath smells.
That's good.
It's there even when her feet stink. Listen, it's there when she's having a bad day. Why? Because it's not out here. It's in here. And when it's in here, Jesus Christ never changes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
So do it His way. Amen. Keep Him in the front and you in the back. And live for Him and look to Him and follow Him and do what He says do. Almost 40 years, zero regrets. None. If I had to live my life, listen, I've had the rug yanked out from me under me so many times, I ought to have a broke nose. But I don't. Why? I mean, I got to New Guinea, things are going great, the ministry's going, it's thriving, and God says, you're done. I said, what? I don't want you here anymore, I got something else for you. But these are my people. They're whose people? That's the way you got me there. So I come home. You know what I found out? 18 years later, they're doing a better job than I could have ever done. My wife and I went back. Man, I'm telling you, they are doing a wonderful job. It's fantastic what they're doing. And then I come home. I wind up pastoring church. I told my pastor when he turned it over to me. I said, I didn't come here to pastor this church, man. He said, I think God wants you to pastor it. Then his pastor said, I think God wants you to pastor it. And then God said, I want you to pastor it. God was trying to teach me something to prepare me for what I've been doing now for 20 years. So I pastored. I had a great time. And guess what happened, Brother Dale? People are getting saved. I just baptized 5 people. And God says, you're done again. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, get in the will of God, do the will of God, and there'll be no regrets. After 40 years right now, amen, if I had to do it all over again, amen, brother, I would do it exactly the same way. I would not miss one step that my Savior has put me on. Why? Because it's the most wonderful journey you'll ever live. Living His will in your life. You'll love it. As they used to say, when I swam in the creek, come on in, the water's fine. Amen.